Good morning. Glad to be back. We're going to be in 1 Thessalonians. If you were here last week, we started a series that who knows how long it'll ever, or if it'll ever get completed, I guess, by me, but talking about a strong church and what a strong church looks like. And there was a phrase that I said over and over again, and I'm sure you all have it memorized, and I will not disappoint myself by asking you to repeat it with me, but the idea of a strong church has strong people who are committed to following God no matter what. I hope as we did that and talked through that last week, you really thought about that this week. Are you following God no matter what? Are you committed to being a part of a strong church who is committed to following God no matter what? Again, we have an opportunity each and every day to live out boldly what we believe. And that's really what this next chapter, or we won't go through the entire chapter, but this next section of 1 Thessalonians is all about. Is how is it that we can live a life that is bold in front of people? Paul, at this time, as he's writing this, we understand he had been through a lot. And he was writing to the church of Thessalonica. He's reminding them of what he had gone through. He was also defending himself a little bit. Not a little bit, a lot of it. They were coming against him. People were coming up with reasons why what he was saying was incorrect and why what he was doing was false and how others needed to live and do other things. And Paul was defending what he knew to be true. Again, the same people that had risen up against Paul are now starting to rise up against the young Christians at the Church of Thessalonica. Again, we understand that this is reality. This is real in our life. Last week we talked a little bit about this in Sunday school, and we made mention of it last week in the service, that we here in America don't necessarily see the persecution as strong as other places in the world, but it is still there. To live out your faith isn't always met with rave reviews, right? To live out your faith or to live out as being different isn't always met with, well, that's okay. More times than not, it's met with people saying, why would you do that? Or I can't believe you would think that. Or how dumb do you have to be to believe that? And then it gets worse. I think we're seeing in today's world, it's only going to continue to get there for us here in America. To live out our faith is going to take some effort. To live out our faith, as Paul was encouraging the church to do, for us today is the same thing. To live it out, understanding why we believe what we believe. Understanding what it is that we are doing and why we are doing it. And going back to our statement that I don't think we'll use quite as much today as we did last week, but to be of a part of a strong church, has strong people who are committed to following Christ or God no matter what. Again, is that you? Is that how you're living your everyday life? Getting rid of the distractions, getting rid of the things that keep you from fully following Christ, getting rid of the things that you say, that you talk about, that you do, to fully give yourself over what Christ wants you to do. In this next portion of Scripture, talks about, and you'll hear the word minister over and over again. At least my words, not necessarily from Scripture, but my word, the minister. Look, that is not just referring to the pastor, the one who stands in front of you each Sunday. Yes, you want to have a strong minister of the gospel. You want to have someone who can stand here and effectively proclaim the truth. But the truth is, each one of us are to be ministers for Christ. Each one of us are to live for the Lord. It's easy when you say you're a pastor, people assume and know, or they think they know, what it is that you do. Again, I tell stories often, and I don't remember where I told them. I'm fairly confident I didn't tell it last week in my sermon. I think I've told it to the high school and junior high kids, so bear with me if you've heard this. When I was a pastor, we were flying somewhere one time as a family, and I was sitting next to a lady on a plane. And I tried to do the nice thing and just ask her how she was doing and ask her where she was going. And she told me that she was on her way to a witches convention. I was like, oh, all right. And she went on to tell me all the things that she was going to do at this witches convention. I said, all right, that's interesting. She goes, so what is it that you do? I boldly said, I'm a pastor. And that ended that conversation. But it was good. I was able to... Again, she didn't want to open up anymore about her beliefs or what she thought to be right or wrong. But I was able to give the truth of what I believed and why I believed it. Again, it's easy when you say, I'm a pastor, right? That's the easy thing. When people say or hear you're a pastor, they assume certain things about you. The same should be true if you tell people around you that you're a believer. If people hear you say, I'm a believer, they ought to assume something about you that is different than the people around you. Again, to be a believer, to be a minister of the gospel, is not just the person who stands behind the pulpit, but it is each one of us, each and every day, as we live in a world that, again, is so against what we know to be true, we have to live it out each and every day. So how well are you doing at this? Again, in this section of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, this is Paul's defense of himself. He's defending himself in front of the church, saying, you know who I am. Last week, he told us all about the fact that they were doing well. They were growing in their faith. Their faith was something that was to be as an example to other churches. They were known for how they had been able to handle persecution, how they've been able to handle the people coming against them. And he was encouraging them to do that. And now here he is, finding himself having to defend himself against people who are out there talking about him. And again, I think in his defense of himself, it is a good reminder for us today on how we're supposed to live, what we're supposed to do, and how we're supposed to act. So hopefully you have found yourself already to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says this, "For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain." Again, here he is, very short and sweet. You know that we came to you, and what we came to do was not in vain. And the reason he can say that is because of what we talked about last week. They had accepted Christ. They had turned from their idols. They had turned from what they wanted to do. They had turned from living a life that was dedicated to themselves, and now were dedicating themselves to living for the Lord. And not only that, they were living up against the persecution and the trials of the people around them, so much so that Paul was saying, you as a whole can be used as an example of what others should do. So here he is saying, we came to you. You know that we came to you. We know that our coming to you was not in vain. Again, vain means this empty ineffectiveness or unfruitfulness. Paul is reminding them that his ministry to them was not in vain. Why? Because they accepted Christ as their personal saviors. People were saved and now living for the Lord. Again, my hope and prayer would be for you here today that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal savior. That at some point in your life you had heard the gospel, and in hearing the gospel you recognized your need, and your need is that on your own you have no good in you. And your need is to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. This is what Paul came and told the people in Thessalonica. This is what you need. They accepted it. They lived it. And now he is saying, look, all of the other things that are being said about me, you know they are untrue because we came to you. We came to minister to you. And it was not done in vain. He goes on in verse 2 and it says this. But even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated in Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. Again, Paul's statement here of boldly proclaiming. Boldly proclaiming the truth. Again, how well are you doing at this? How well are you doing at proclaiming the truth every day? Paul says to the church, I had come to you. And in coming to you, you recognize that it wasn't in vain. You even recognize that before we got to you, there were certain things that had happened to us. You understand what we went through in Philippi. You understand all that we had to do. And in coming to you to speak the same truth that got us in trouble in Philippi, here we are doing it again. Are you bold with it? Again, he had been imprisoned. He had been forced out of town and other places. This did not hinder him. He was never going to give up. Didn't matter the persecution, it didn't matter the continuation of people looking down on him, it didn't matter that even now here people are talking about him and he's having to defend himself. He recognizes what he is called to do. He recognizes that he is here to proclaim the truth. Again, strong churches need strong ministers. Not just ministers who stand behind the pulpit or teach a Sunday school class, but ministers who go out into the world each and every day and proclaim truth. So if you want to say that I am a part of a strong church, be a strong minister who preaches the word, and again, not just from behind this pulpit. You don't need to turn there, but 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 says this, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. convincing, rebuking, exhorting with all long-suffering and teaching. To preach the word, to be ready in season and out of season. Again, I'll ask a lot of personal questions today. How well are you doing at this? How well are you doing at making sure that you are ready to proclaim truth whenever it comes your way? How well are you doing at making sure that you know the truth so that when people ask you questions, you can speak truth? Now look, I don't have a real big dog in the fight tonight. I don't really care who wins the game that happens tonight. But I imagine somebody in here knows something about one of the teams and they like them and they love to spew facts about why their team would win. Or maybe you're a true Cleveland fan and you know all the reasons why we fell short this year, right? You still spew facts of your favorite team, your favorite athlete, the things that you enjoy. When people ask you questions about something, you could sit there for hours and hours and debate who's the greatest of all time and who did this and who did it better and why they struggled and why this. Can we do the same thing when it comes to talking about Christ? Again, a strong church needs strong believers who are committed to following Christ no matter what. And in that, they need to be strong ministers who are willing to share the gospel at every point of their life. Paul realized this. He was living out exactly what he was preaching. Again, Paul didn't go into a town and preach the gospel, and then when things got hard, just gave up and said nothing else. No, he continued to preach to a point where he was either thrown out or thrown in prison or stoned or whatever else had happened to him. Again, so much that he did boldly, knowing that he was doing exactly what God wanted him to do. Again, is this the same for us? We need to be willing to give the gospel anywhere, everywhere, at any opportunity. Again, the opportunities aren't really that short. Too often we avoid them because it would be difficult. Too often we avoid them because it's not the right time for us. Too often we don't share truth. We don't speak boldly about our God and who he is because we're afraid of what somebody else would say. And here is Paul saying, you know that my coming to you was not in vain because in my coming you accepted Christ. And in accepting Christ, I now expect you to do as I am doing. Even as you have seen in my life, the difficulty is to go out and to proclaim truth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. It says this, for our exhortation did not come from error, uncleanliness, nor was it in deceit. Again, a strong church needs strong ministers who preach the gospel, who preach truth. Here Paul is being questioned on if his gospel is true, if it's pure. A true minister preaches a pure gospel. He says here, it did not come from error, uncleanliness, did not come from deceit. Paul did not add or take away from the word of God. He gave the truth as it was told to him, as he knew it to be true in his life, and he spoke truth. But there are many churches today that do the exact opposite. Many churches today will preach whatever is good for the people around them. Many churches today will preach what is easy to preach. Again, I as a pastor, for the years that I spoke, there was times where I got to a passage and I said to myself, boy, it'd be a lot easier to just to skip this one and go to the next one, right? That's not what we can do. That's not what we're called to do. And as believers, we're called to do the same thing. Don't just skip the hard things. Don't take away from what the gospel of Christ is saying. He preached the pure gospel. Paul realized that his message was from God, and he kept that message true. In order to do this, he lived it out each and every day. Again, Paul was willing to say to them, you have seen me. You have seen what I have done. Can we say the same thing about ourselves? When people see us, do they see Christ? Or do they see what we want, what we need? He was genuine. He was real. And he says this in verse 3. He says, it was not done with deceit. You recognize why we came to you. You recognize the importance of why we came to you. Again, Paul should not have to be defending himself because of what he was saying was true. And if we are speaking truth, then we should never have to defend ourselves to anybody else. Again, speak truth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4 says this, But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing to men, but God who tests our hearts. Again, a strong church needs strong ministers who preach the gospel. And again, they preach it not to please men, but to please God. Look, this is a problem today. This is a problem in many churches, in many areas. They will get up and tell you this prosperity type gospel, that if you do this, you will receive this. If you live this way, then this will happen for you. Look, the truth is this. It's not about how you live. It's about who you know. It's not about how good you do in your community or the people around you, but it's about knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And this is what Paul wanted them to understand, that in knowing Christ, in accepting Him, you understand that this is the truth now, and you have been entrusted with the gospel to speak it, not pleasing to men, but to God. And look, this is hard. I'll be the first one to admit. Like, this can be really hard, especially when you're working in a place that maybe isn't a Christian environment. And you want to speak up for what you know to be true. You want to speak up for what you know to be right. And when we speak up against the things that go against God, we recognize that many times we are being singled out, called out for our faith, for our belief. But you know what's okay about that? Is that you're doing the truth. You're being the minister that God has called you to be. You are living a life committed to following God no matter what. How well are you doing at this? How well are you doing at making sure you live a life committed to following God? As a believer, you've been entrusted with the truth. You've been entrusted with what you need to share with others. How well are you doing at this? Look, this is not meant to be a secret. One of the scariest things in the world is when Owen will come up to me and he'll tell me he has a secret to tell me. You never know what that secret's going to be. For those of you who don't know, Owen is my 5-year-old. He is full of words. I won't even say information. Words. And sometimes he will share these secrets with me that are complete nonsense. But every now and then he kind of says something. I'm like, wait a minute, who did what? And he goes, oh. Realized he wasn't supposed to say that part of the story. Wasn't realizing he was supposed to not talk about that part of the story. Again, what we have to share is not meant to be a secret. Boldly proclaim it. Stand up and tell somebody what you know to be true. Again, if you are committed to being a strong believer inside of a strong church that is committed to following Christ no matter what, then you need to be willing to go outside of this church building, outside of these however many walls this is, and go into the world and live it each and every day. And if you're not willing to do that, then you are missing the mark on what you have been entrusted with, which is truth, which is the answer to what people need. Paul is telling them, look, you know that I have come to you to do this thing. You know this is what I have said, and you know that I'm not doing this to please men, because if I were here to please men, my life would be a lot easier right now. Like, if Paul was just giving this prosperity gospel, he never would have found himself imprisoned. He never would have found himself fighting for what he believes. He goes on in verse 5. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Again, a strong minister doesn't desire to use these flattering words. A strong minister desires to speak truth. Sometimes truth is hard. Sometimes you need to call out what you see. We're going to talk here in a few verses on how we do that. But sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes you need to call it what it is. Speak the truth to what it is and how it's affecting them, how it's affecting you. Paul tells the people, look, you'd recognize I was not here under a greedy sense. I was not here to do anything on my own time. Look, I didn't use these flattering words just to make you feel good about yourself or to help me more. I did this because, what, verse 6? Nor did we seek the glory of men either for you or for others, when we might have the demands as apostles of Christ. Again, Paul recognized the honor and the privilege that it was to speak truth. You recognize what you have as a believer? Do you recognize what you have to share with others? Do you recognize the good news that you have that others need to hear? And when we keep those things to ourselves, or when we water it down, when we give it anything else other than what it is, which is just truth, then we are missing the full potential of what the gospel has to do. Look, last week we talked about what the gospel is. It is living, right? We talked about, maybe I did this in my Bible class, so maybe none of you have any idea what I'm talking about. In our Bible class, we talked about the fact that it was living, that it was sharper than any two-edged sword, that it had the ability to pierce, has the ability to change you. Right? When you see that part of Scripture where it says it pierces even the joints and the marrow, I'm here to tell you that it is hard to cut through joints and marrow. But God's Word has the ability to do that. And when you see that God's Word is a living Word, a true Word, a Word that we can rely on, a Word that we can share with others, when we realize that is what we have to give, then we are missing out on the privilege that it is to share God's Word. Again, Paul did not come to seek popularity. Paul did not come to be loved by men. He did not come to give just the words that men wanted to hear. He came to give truth. And in giving truth, he did exactly what he was supposed to do as a minister of the gospel. So how well are you doing at this? How well are you doing at giving exactly what you have been called to do as a minister of the gospel? Again, I'm talking to you as a believer. If you are here today as a believer, this is what you are called to do. I'm not talking about just the person who stands here. I'm talking the person that leaves this place and goes into that world that is so desperately in a need for a Savior. How well do you do when you leave this place, leave your Christian friends, leave the easy place, and go into the hard place and preach truth? Speak truth. Tell others what you know. Again, our goal, as Paul's goal was and should be for us today, to give the gospel, to give it over and over again so that people hear the truth, to give the gospel in a way where we are strong ministers, we're taking care of the privilege that we have been given to share what it is that has saved us. When I was junior in high school, I think, we went on a wilderness trip. And on this wilderness trip, part of what we did was we would canoe until you couldn't canoe any farther, and then you get out and you portage. And if you don't know what a portage is, it's awful. Like, you don't want to know, right? And I have never, ever in my life been the smallest person in a group. It just is what it is. So I always had my backpack and a canoe on my shoulders as we walked somewhere. And if you've never walked with a canoe on your shoulders, it's not easy to see what is in front of you. If you don't believe me, go find a canoe, put it over your head, and walk. But I can remember as we walked through these portages, as we were navigating our way through places, we needed somebody ahead of us telling us where we needed to go, what we needed to do. The worst one was this. We had one day where we kind of decided we were going to push it. We were in the middle of Canada. We hadn't seen anybody for days. And our guide was like, if we push it just a little bit harder, the next campsite is a beautiful campsite. It's on a nice, calm lake with a sandy front to it. We can relax for at least half a day because we're ahead of schedule, and we'll just relax there. And so we all decided, yeah, let's do it. And so we pushed, and we got to that campsite, and after like 5 days of seeing nobody, we saw our first somebody in our campsite. And so our guide says to us, well, we can do one of two things. We can either go back, that portage that you just did that was awful, or we can canoe to the next one. It's a shorter walk, and we get to a different campsite. But it meant we're going to have to do it at night. Again, walking with a backpack on your back, a canoe over your head, at night is even less fun than doing it during the day. And I can remember as we pushed ahead, we got out, somebody in our group was smart enough to say, do you think there's bears in this woods? And from that point forward, we had people who were scared of bears while carrying canoes and backpacks on their heads. So what do? We send somebody out ahead of us with a flashlight, and they sang the most annoying song ever known to mankind about the little ducks that went over the hill. Mama duck said quack, quack, quack. And when they would sing this song, we would all yell quack, 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 and we'd do this. That is not a part of the story that you needed to know, but I felt like it was fun. And in doing that, we helped each other get from place to place to place. And as we finished what was the worst day of portaging and canoeing, we get to our next campsite, we finally set up camp, we get dinner going, and we find ourselves relying on one another. Because the person in the front was speaking truth. The person in the front was saying, you need to get over this rock, you need to go this way, you need to do this. If we wouldn't have listened to that, we would have all been lost in the woods singing Three Little Ducks Went Over the Hill with bears attacking us while we had canoes and backpacks on. I'm convinced of it. But we listened. We followed. Look, there is so much more that we need to listen and follow that is way more important than that portage ever was from God's Word. And if you are here today as a believer, and if you have followed what God has asked you to do in accepting Him as your personal Savior, if you have accepted your need for a Savior, because ultimately each one of us in this room, we're lost and on our way to hell. And if you're here today as a non-believer, you're still lost and on your way to hell. Look, God gives us the answers of what it is that we need to do. We put our faith and trust in Him. And this is what Paul went to do. He went to speak this truth to a group of people who were caught up in worshiping of idols, living a life that was so much for themselves. And when Paul showed up, he showed up under the guise of, I'm going to speak truth no matter what you think. I'm going to speak truth no matter what you do to me. I've already been run out of Philippi. I've already had all of these things. I am going to speak truth to you. And when he did it, they were saved. And when they were saved, they were changed. And when they were changed, they went on to live lives dedicated to proclaiming the gospel. Today, this is what we are called to do. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, it says this. It says, but we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own child, so affectionately and longing for you. We were all pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. Again, a strong minister, a strong church needs strong ministers, and a strong minister needs to give the gospel gently and lovingly. Now, look, there are times where you just have to call truth is what truth is. And there are times probably in your life where you've had to be bold and say, look, I don't care what you're saying or what you think, you are wrong. But ultimately, the way that you allow the Holy Spirit to work in people's lives is as Paul did it. Came to them, he says, as a nourishing mother cherishes her own child. Coming to them with love, with gentleness, with care, this tenderness and care, this warmth and affection, this love that was shown to Paul by Christ, he wanted to show it to those that needed that truth. And in doing so, they accepted Jesus Christ. Paul's care for the people was strong, and he was willing to sacrifice it all for them. Again, later in a different book, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says this. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, it says this, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Again, this is what the unbeliever has had happen to them. They have been taken captive by the devil. They do not want to see the truth. They do not need in their own minds to see the truth. And here he is, Paul saying, both in 1 Thessalonians, here in 2 Timothy, a servant of the Lord must come to them gently, patiently, humility, correcting them so that they may see the truth of who God is. So again, a strong minister is one who does it gently and lovingly. Someone who stands up for what is true, yes, but does it in a way that it points to the love of Christ that was shown to them. Again, how well are you doing at this? How well are you doing at living this out each and every day? Like, it is not hard to look into our world and say, that is wrong, that is wrong, that is wrong. And yes, we could give it all the scripture we want to give towards it. We could cast them down. We could show all of the things that they're doing is wrong. Sometimes we need to go to them and say, yes, what you're doing is wrong. But here's the amazing news. There's a God that loves you even in your weakness. Right? What does scripture tell us? Is that while we were all sinners, Christ died for us. Like each and every one of us, lost, condemned, on our way to hell, and Christ died for us. Like that's the love that we need to tell people. That's the love that we have to show people. And we do that by how we live, by how we interact, and how we stand up and proclaim truth each and every day. How well are you doing at this? Paul goes on in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, he says this, "For you remember, brethren, our labor and our toil, for laboring night and day, that we might not be burdened to any of you. We preach to you the gospel of God." Again, here he is standing up for why he is there. It says they labored day and night. They toiled to make sure that they were not a burden to the people there. Look, there's many that would say Paul just went from town to town getting from Christians, right? Converting these people so that he could live off of them. Converting them so that he could do what they want him to do and he could have all of the nice things that they had. But here he is saying, look, we didn't do that for those things. We did it because we were ready to labor night and day for you, so that we would not be a burden to you, and to preach the gospel of God to you. Some of you think about the idea of having to labor day and night and say, I can barely stay awake all day. How am I supposed to do it all night? I'm here to tell you is that we are never to stop working for the Lord. We are to never stop thinking of how we can present the gospel to somebody. We should never find ourselves in a place where we're just saying, you know what, today I'm taking the day off. And even if asked, I'm not going to talk about God. I'm not going to talk about what he means to me. We should say every day is an opportunity to speak truth. And in speaking truth, we share the gospel. A strong minister is one who labors day and night. Again, don't lose track of even what he said in the very first verse. That in his coming to them, it was not done in vain. Look, in your toiling and day and night, in your working day and night, it is never done in vain if what you're doing is for the Lord. How well are you doing at this? How well are you making sure that you are living up to your responsibility to share this light into a dark world? How well are you doing at making sure that you share the truth with those that need it so desperately? Again, there's all kinds of arguments of, I don't know that many people, or I'm not around that many people. Look, I get it. You may spend the majority of your time inside your house, only around you. But all of you at least have left today, right? And today, you might have the opportunity on your way home to talk to somebody about Jesus Christ. Are you going to do it? Again, it was easy for me when I'm sitting next to a lady on a plane who tells me she's a witch and going to a witch's convention to say, you know what, I'm a pastor. Let's talk about that. But there's been other times where I've been sitting on a plane or next to somebody and they ask me what I do and I tell them I'm a pastor and they say, well, what does that mean? And I just kind of give them the overviews and I've missed the opportunity to give the gospel in a real way to them so they could see their need. And I'm held accountable for that. I hate that I've missed opportunities like that. And I think to myself, all right, Lord, next time I'm not going to do that. Maybe this is you. Maybe right now you're thinking of a person or a place that you've been in the last week or two, and you're like, man, if I just would have taken the opportunity in that place at that time with that person, I could have shared the gospel. If you've had that happen in your life, and I would imagine all of us have, don't forget this the next time you have that opportunity. Don't forget what it means to speak truth the next time you have the opportunity to share the gospel with somebody. Paul goes on in verse 10. Says, you are a witness, and God also, how devotedly and justly and blamelessly we behaved among ourselves among you who believed. Here he is speaking truth. You saw us. You knew what we were doing. You knew how we lived. You understood what we were doing. Again, a strong minister is one who preaches and then lives out the same life. Again, are you living out what you know to be true? Too often we don't do this. Too often we speak truth to anybody who wants to hear it, but when we're living our life, we live for ourselves. Too often we will speak to others about what they need to do and how they need to live, but when it comes to us, we do what we want to do and how we want to do it. Paul is here saying, look, you know us. You saw us. You saw how we were living. You saw that we did this. We lived this way in front of you. He goes on in verse 11 and says, and as you know, how we exhorted and comforted and changed every one of you as a father does his own children. Charged every one of you, excuse me. Again, a strong minister is one who preaches the need for change, right? To change, to be different than we were before. Look, as Paul gave this charge to them, as he gave them this truth, he wanted them, like a father speaks to their child, to be different. Look, as I have opportunities in my own family to correct my children, which never happens, right? They're perfect. I always hope that in that correction, there is real change in how they react, how they do, things that they say, and how they live. Like as believers, if you have been changed by the Word of God, you are to be changed in how you live out your life in this world. How well are you doing at this? He closes this section with this statement in verse 12 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. It says that you would walk worthy of God who calls you in his own kingdom and glory. Again, a strong minister ought to have one goal, and that is to walk worthy. That is to walk worthy of God who has called you. How well are you doing at this? Again, how well are you doing at all of these things? How well are you doing at living all of these things out? Here is Paul defending himself in front of a church that knew him, who he was, recognized what he came to preach to them. They accepted what he preached. They put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. They were now turning away from idols. They were now living in a way that they were being set as an example to others. And Paul goes to them and he says to them, you know who I am. You know what I've done. You understand that these things that are being said about me are false. And you understand that everything I have done up until this point with you was to walk worthy of the God who has called me into his kingdom and glory. Like if you hear nothing else today, if you are here as a believer, you are called to walk worthy of the God who has called you into his kingdom. How well are you doing at this? Every day. Not just when you're here on Sundays or here on Wednesdays. For those of you that teach and attend school here, not just when you're here inside of what is a safe place, but every day when you walk into a world that is so against what we know to be true. How well are you doing at walking worthy? How well are you doing at walking and being like Christ? The truth is, if we're honest with ourselves, we all fall short of this. None of us have this figured out. And that's okay, right? We're still working. We're still doing our best. Look, it's a process. To walk worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. To live every day so much so that it is a privilege to serve your Lord and Savior. Do you do that? Years ago, my dad preached a sermon. And I heard an illustration that he used of an elderly lady who every day would wake up and thank God that she was here for another day to serve him. And I've told this story often enough that it changes. It's not the exact way that my dad told it. But as this elderly lady was in church one morning, the pastor asked her, "How have you lived a life so dedicated to following Christ?" So she told him, she says, "Every day I wake up and I thank the Lord for another day to serve him." And the pastor says, "You know, that's a good answer." And I've developed this statement of, that's a good Sunday school answer. That's what we're supposed to say. He says, "But how else have you done this? What else do you do to make sure that you are living every day to be like Christ?" And again, as the story is told, she gets a smirk on her face and says, "Well, after I pray to the Lord and ask and thank him for another day to serve him, I also say, and let today be the day that Satan says, 'Oh no, she's awake again.'" Think about that. If what you are doing every day makes the ruler of this world, Satan himself, angry because you are living out the gospel that you know to be true, then you have done something right. And you are doing exactly what you are supposed to do. Are you doing this? Are you living this way? Are you presenting the gospel boldly as Paul did? Or do you find yourself just kind of sitting back, knowing that you're saved, understanding where you'll spend eternity, but sitting back and not truly being the minister that God has called each and every one of us to be? Again, a strong church is filled with strong people who are committed to following God no matter what. That means you are called to be a strong minister of the gospel no matter what. You ought to get up every day hoping that Satan is going, "Oh no, not this group. Oh no, not these people again. Oh no, these people are here again to present the gospel that I so desperately hate and am against." Can that be said about you? As Paul says in his last statement here in verse 12, that he has walked worthy of God who called him. Is that what you're doing? Is that how you're living? Look, if you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, it's simple. Today's the day you make the choice to follow him. And in following him, you now can live with boldness that you are doing exactly what God wants you to do. Presenting the gospel, living it out each and every day, no matter where you are. As an unbeliever, this is what you are called to do. This is what you are hearing here today. You need to be saved and changed. But as a believer, you need to hear this today. That if you're here as a believer and you are not walking worthy of the calling that God has put in your life, if you're here today as a believer and you are not boldly proclaiming the truth of the gospel at every chance you have, if you are here today as a believer and you're doing anything less than doing all that you can to further the glory of God, then you have missed the mark on what it means to be a strong minister for the Lord. And if we want to be strong ministers who are strong people inside of a strong church, then we need to be committed to doing whatever it is that God has for us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that in your word there is truth. We thank you that even here in this section, as Paul had to defend himself against those that were rising up against him, as those that were coming after him, and he had to stand up boldly proclaiming who he was and what he did and how he lived. And Lord, as the church of Thessalonica read this, they recognized the truth in Paul, that Paul was this person. He did live this way. He did come to proclaim truth. And they, in their own lives, recognized that they had a need. And in recognizing that need, they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Lord, I would pray that if there was someone here today that does not know you, they would put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. They would recognize their need to be changed by the gospel, and that's the only thing that can change us. That's the only thing that we have that can make us different in the eyes of you. And then, Lord, those of us that know you, those of us that have lived maybe longer with you than without you, Lord, let us each day be dedicated to living a life that, again, is working for you, that is bringing all glory to you, Lord, help us to live each day so that when we wake up tomorrow, Satan's going, oh no, not these guys. And Lord, each day we live to bring honor and glory to you. Each day we live to be that strong person inside of a strong church that is committed to following you no matter what. We ask all these things in your precious name. Amen.